Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Va'etchanan. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes discusses Va'etchanan, the Shema. Rabbi Daniel Landes is the Rosh HaYeshiva and the director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha, Va'etchanan, is a missionary parsha. Jewish missionary parsha, that is, the Jewish obligation to missionize. It's part of an integrative system to move away from fragmentation and move towards oneness. And make this up, it's right there. Shema Yisrael, we're in Devarim Vav Pasuk Dalad, we're in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Rashi says right there, on the spot, that the notion of listening to this call, listen, O Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, God, the four-letter name for God, which expresses the ineffable. This Lord is, which we pronounce as Adonai, or we say Hashem, is Eloheinu, is our God. It's our particularistic God. He's God, our God right now, and not the God of the nations. Hu atid liyot, but in the future he will be Adonai Echad, the one God, the one Lord for everyone. Quotes the verse from Tzfanya, from the Minor Prophets. Ki az ha'poch el amim safa brura, likro kulam b'shev Hashem. And then I will turn over the nations so that they will speak a clear language. So they all should call forth in the name of God. And he brings one more verse from the Minor Prophets, from Zechariah, v'ne'amar, and also says, "Vayomahu ye'adonai echad u'shmo echad." On that day, the Lord will be one, and His name will be one. That the social reality will be that all will partake in the oneness of God. Rav Kook evokes these verses, evokes this Rashi in his book. Magnum Opus wrote his great theological summing up of the great ideas of Judaism. And wrote the book called Lights. And by calling forth, he refers to Israel, to God as Kadosh Yisrael, the other term for God, the separate one of Israel, the sanctified one of Israel, but literally the separate one from Israel. And he brings this verse. It really refers to the fact of our obligation. Our obligation is that, yes, there are other believers out there. Yes, there are those who believe in a divinity and those who approach oneness. But Judaism has been very good on maintaining the radical notion of oneness. Oneness in terms of uniqueness, oneness without any sort of separation, oneness that the world is not divided by different divinities, God forbid, that the world is not run by opposing deities, that there's one God. And the notion of what needs to be done is a language change, as it were. We move to purify and clarify language of others so they all can call forth really in the name of God. This is not meant to be our own personal, as it were, property. God is certainly, we're the property of God. God's not our property. The only thing that might be said is the proper notion of what a Jew is, or the property of the Jew, is they all always come back to this verse of this complete oneness of God. And the oneness of God therefore implies a oneness of humanity, a oneness of creation, that things are interconnected and things come together, that we don't live always in full fragmentations, that it's a consciousness change and a language a language change so that we could begin to understand what does it mean to have one God. It's a messianic claim. On that day, the Lord will be one, and his name, meaning his social reality, will be one. When it says Shema Yisrael, this is the claim that Israel makes. Israel's the one who says Shema. Israel turns to the fellow Jew and says Shema, but actually Israel turns and proclaims this unity, which has cost us a lot in history, and proclaims it as if in court. That's why the Shema, the ayin of the Shema, of the first word, and of the dalet, of the achad, of the one, of the last word, you put the two together. It's mentioned often as aid. It's a form of testimony. We are witnesses, and we bear that witness upon ourselves. This is the last verse that a Jew says in their life. And they know if they know their life is soon, this is how they end their life, with this on their lips. And this, in a tender moment, is what is taught when the first thing's taught from a parent to a child. And when a child goes down to sleep, this is the last words that they hear from the parent, the kiss, the hug, the saying of the Shema. It is evangelical because it cannot belong to just us alone. It emerges from us. We have specific teachings about how we manifest this echad. And you shall love the Lord your God, v'atzat shem elkecha, b'chal levavacha, u'v'chal nafshecha, u'v'chal meldecha. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And I've said here on podcast before, quoting the Talmud, b'chal levavacha, there's two bets that are used there. It could have said libecha, it could have said your heart. But literally, levavacha means your hearts. That we are fragmented, and we have a Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara, a good inclination and a bad inclination. And we're supposed to serve God with both inclinations. We're supposed to take that bad inclination and those things that often turn towards evil and turn them around and move them to be proactive towards God. And therefore, all those instincts for self-preservation and all those instincts for self-propagation and self-aggrandizement can be used for the good. Serve God with both your hearts, not only the goody good, but even that can go in the bad direction. Uvachal nafshecha, with your whole soul. Soul here is generally understood by the rabbis as life force, with your entire life force. So therefore it says, afil no tel et nafshecha, even if they will take your soul. This was Rabbi Akiva's great moment of self-sacrifice, when he says, am I supposed to serve God with all my soul? They want me to, God forbid, deny the oneness of God. I will not do so. And therefore, I will serve God b'chol nafshecha, with all one's soul, one's all life force. And that was at the end of his life when he said the Shema. V'chol moldecha, two interpretations. V'chol moldecha, with all your might, with all your ma'od, with all your muchness, with all your material possessions. If that's what it takes, that's what you need to do. And it's also understood in the Talmud, Moldecha is kind of a pun. B'chol mida u'mida shehu molded lecha, with every possible quality in every situation, qualified situation that you go through, when you're happy and depressed, when you're in pain and when you're in jubilation, when you feel constricted and when you feel released, in every mida, in every kind of quality of life, and quality of your own emotional affective being, you can serve God. A Hasidic teaching, Chidushei Arim, for the founder of the Ger Hasidus, points out that if it's v'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, even if one soul is taken away, perhaps it could also mean v'chol levavacha, even when your heart is taken away. What does it mean when your heart is taken away? When you feel your heart is so far away that you are in a state which is usually referred to in Chassidut as katnut, of such smallness of being, of such slightness of being. Effectively, emotionally, we may refer to this as a depression. Existentially, we refer to this as alienation. The Chassidim in their expression call this katnus, not when you are a great, as opposed to godlut, a greatness, when you are in this enthusiastic state of being in which it's easy to make affirmations, and you want to make affirmations, but continent in which you can hardly say anything about yourself, that's also serving God with your hearts. Even there in the continent, there is, and maybe even especially there in the continent, there's an ability to find a way of making that affirmation, even though you know so much about your own fragility and your own imperfection, but you can make this and you can connect with the Echad. So b'chol, it's not only b'chol nafshcha when they take away your life force or they threaten to kill you, but also b'chol levecho when circumstances have taken you away from that being of godliness, of greatness, and you feel such a smallness of being. That's another time of serving God. An associate counsel will come up soon. And these things which I commend you should be upon your heart. And the Chosker Rebbe, also associated with the Gera movements, the great and very sharp, sharp Chosker Rebbe, says, this part of the verse explains how one could be commanded to love God. Because it says, it's like a codicil, these things which I've commanded you today, command to love. What a hard command. How do you command someone to love? They should be upon your heart. Let them be upon your heart. Wrestle with it. Think about it. Be concerned with it. Because at some moment, the Kutzker says, your heart may very well open. You have to do the work to be prepared for love. And if you do the work to be prepared for love, then that moment when love can open up, it doesn't have to just, and it's creakingly open, it doesn't have to snap back shut your heart. You can be opened and opened further, and love can do that trick because it's been a concern of yours, it's been on your heart, and then at that special moment, it can open up further. This whole social reality, Vishnatul Vanacha, teach your children. Who do you love more than your children? No one. So teach them that which is at the center of your very being, the love of God. V'dibartabam, and speak about it. Don't be inarticulate in love. Be articulate to your children about love. And speak about it to others. B'shivtacha b'veitecha. It's a personal home base, how you set up your household when you sit in your house. V'lechtacha v'derech. And it's something to be set out when you proclaim on the road. When you lie down and when you get up, those are specifically the times of saying that. When you lie down, you fear for the night. When you get up, and you have to face the day. But those are also emotional affective states. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. This refers to the hand tefillin. Vayu phylacteries. Vayu latotafot beinecha. And they should be for a Totafot is a special term. Sometimes it's translated as blinders, meaning that it gives you a focus and a direction. Other times it refers to a kind of object of unification that brings yourself together between your eyes, right at the center of your thought processes. And you should write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates, the gates referring to the city, the house referring to your personal house, and the mezuzah, in which you say, we believe in this. It's an object. There's something written in it. We believe in the object. We believe what the object says. And this objectified writing, which is the Shema, is right there in the mezuzah. The Sfas Emes, the grandson of the master of true speech, the grandson of the Chidushei Arim that we mentioned earlier, the grandson of the founder of the Ger Hasidim, and the author of that brilliant work by which he is known, which was both a halachic commentary on the Talmud and a philosophic Hasidic commentary on the Chumash, he asks the question also, how can you command love? And he says, the question is really the answer. The very fact that it's commanded means that it's within our ability to love. We have the capacity. The Jew has the capacity to love God. And the command is there to open ourselves up and get ready for that capacity. Put that together with the Kusker's moment. The command, Kusker's comment, the command is to open ourselves up to be ready to express that love and to seize the moment when love is possible. This is the integrative notion of Shema Yisrael, that the Lord is our God for the Jewish people. The Lord is one for the entire creation. We can only show this through love. We can only show this through example, that we do so with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. We can only do so when we create a social reality in which the oneness of God is ever present with our children, within our household, how we conduct ourselves on the road, how we internalize it within our heart, how we wear it in our on our body, how we write it for us for a commemoration and for a sign on the very doorposts of how we create our social structures. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.